Welcome to Inner Bloom, a podcast about how to live a happier, healthier, more harmonious life as you learn how to work with the universe, reconnect with your intuition, and bloom from within. I'm Alexa, a writer, producer, and EFT practitioner with a passion for all things metaphysical. And with me is my friend and co-host, Ambi.
I'm Ambi, a physical therapy assistant, mom of three, and intuitive medium who has been communicating with the spirit world since the age of five. Some might call it woo-woo, but from our perspective, anything is possible, and we intend to normalize the abnormal by sharing our own life experiences as well as intuitive insights, channeled material, wisdom from special guests, and any other resources we believe will help our souls expand and thrive.
Hello, all you bloomers. Welcome back to another episode. I am Alexa, and with me is my co-host with the most, Ambi.
I was going to be goofy, and I was going to be like, what up?
I beat you to it. We're changing roles today, guys. How are you doing, Ambi?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You guys, we are at 300 plays a day on this podcast.
That is so exciting.
I know. And like, we're only in our third week. So I think that's pretty good. I don't really know what the norms are, but we feel like that's pretty good. So thanks everybody for helping with that. Yeah. And, we have a lot of people writing in and, you know, wanting to be a part of this, which is awesome. Even people who have started to help out on the show in different ways, which is great. And thank you to all of you. Kasha is working on the social media for the time being, and a couple other people helping in the background. And yeah, we're just really excited. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. So as we've been expanding, we a part of the show that we're going to be delving into a bit more is, bringing on other people who are working in this realm, people who are working in the metaphysical world, in the, in the spirit world, because we want to put the spotlight on other people who are doing things that we like to do and that we're doing as well. And as this has been happening, something interesting has been popping up for Ambi and I, which, you know, I thought it would be a good topic for us to talk about because I think a lot of people can probably relate to this, which is essentially competition and scarcity mindset, right? So, So we had a couple people reach out who are also mediums and who we were talking about having on the show. And Ambi, do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. So mediumship and psychics are not like I would be shocked. I've never met somebody that's like, what is that? I don't know what that is. Because it's something that I feel like is becoming you hear about it more, which is great. Because that's the whole point of, well, not the whole point, but that's one of the points of doing this is to normalize the abnormal, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that being said, you're going to have more people that do similar things than you. And you're going to have more people that do pretty much the same things you do. And it brings me back to my point that I truly believe that everybody has this ability. It's not something that, only one person or only a select group of people can do. And I know that that opinion differs based on who you're talking to, but your first reaction, because we're human, is, well, why am I not good enough? Well, what's wrong with me? You know? And that being said, it's not that there's anything better or worse or anything wrong with, you know, another medium or myself, just different. And that's perfectly fine. But the initial reaction, it definitely shows you what you still need to work on. So for me, it's self-worth, it's self-growth. And that was something that was made clear to me because for about an hour, it was, well, what did I do? What's wrong with me? And blah, 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 blah. And once I got out of that state of what I do bad mentality, it was more of less like, no, it's okay if people are drawn to other mediums. I'm not the only one doing this, and to think that I am is silly. And if I can learn from someone else that's been doing this longer, because in actuality, I've been reading for people for maybe like a year. So on and off a year. So there's still so much that I have to learn, and I'm excited to hear other people's perspectives on it. And then also excited to hear other people's stories about how they handled situations. You know, just today, we were introduced to another medium, another psychic medium, and looking at his story and his information, I'm like, wow, the first thing that pops up for me today was, I wonder what's the weirdest thing that he's dealt with, which is an interesting way, but it wasn't that scarcity mentality anymore, which is nice because it's growing and it's learning. So I think that if other people can, I think the world would be a better place. And wow, that sounds really egocentric. If I was like, the world would be a better place if everybody was like me, but that's not what I meant. What I meant was, if we can move out of that state of like competition and not enoughness and things of that nature, and instead really ask ourselves, what can I learn in this situation, or what can this person teach me doing the same things that I am doing? I think that would be a much better mindset, but that's just my opinion. I got a reading from an intuitive medium, not a medium, a psychic, on Friday. She was like, I'm giving out mini readings and I need practice. And I was like, cool, give me a reading, that would be great. And like, it was just a nice, it was nice to have like a third party come in and kind of verify a few things for me, and then also say, you know what, this is what I potentially see, so maybe think about doing X, Y, and Z. Because when you come down to it, like that's what we're doing, is we're counseling each other, you know?
Yeah.
You're counseling people very directly, and I'm inadvertently counseling people saying, hey, this is what I see for you. So you might want to think about doing X, Y, and Z if that's not the path you want to go down. Or, hey, I know that you have this regret with this loved one that passed, but they don't feel like that anymore, or they do, or let's talk it out, or you know what I mean? However we're working it with these people, it's still counseling to a degree. And the main message is we're bringing peace to people.
I think you're actually doing intense, like more direct counseling than I am. I mean, I do EFT sessions, and it might seem like but from my perspective, when I sit in on your sessions and I hear your sessions, I'm like, you're like truly intuitively coaching people. Like you're truly coaching people through their life, like that. And it's very much like counseling, very directly. So, I mean,
I appreciate that. And I agree with you. I think, it's turned into that. I've noticed that in the last like couple weeks, it's kind of turned into that. I was not my intention, but it has turned into that. But also, I would also say that, you know, you and I have done EFT together, and what you are doing is by no fee, like any less than anybody else, you know? So same thing is, I mean, I truly mean this. When I first talked to Alexa, and I'm going to talk to you like you're in third person, no big deal, you're not here. When I first spoke with you, you have this voice and this way about yourself that just calms people down, and it really truly brings people in. And that's your gift. You know, that's like one of your gifts, that people connect with you, and you allow people to be vulnerable in a safe space. And that is such a huge freeing moment for people. I know for myself, especially, I went through most of my life feeling like I wasn't safe. Like I wasn't, oh, it's not okay to be vulnerable. And you just allow that space for people.
Thank you. That's such a nice thing to say. And I'm working on receiving my compliments right now, so I'm trying to take that in. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And And yeah, you know, I was just circling back around to the topic, you know, as Ambie was just describing, it's like, you know, we've had other mediums contacting us wanting to be on the show, and we want them to, you know. And but, you know, she was just describing her initial reaction, kind of like, like as she said, like, what's wrong with me? Like, someone else is doing the same thing I'm doing. Oh no, like a feeling like, oh my gosh, there's only one spot or something like that. Mm-hmm. Which is definitely something we've been taught, you know, it's definitely something that we've been taught growing up. Like, well, there's only one number one place. There's only one spot, you know, for this person. And it's like, you know, I'm coming to realize that's not true at all, but it really feels like it because it's been so ingrained in our society. And, you know, I had a very similar experience to Ambie this week where one of my sisters from the EFT retreat that I talk about on every episode of everything I talk about, where with Sonia Sophia, one of my sisters just made like a big life change and basically walked away from a 6-figure salary in a very successful career that she's had, where she just – her heart wasn't in it anymore, and she's following her calling to be, you know, to do transformational work with people, but specifically with EFT. And when she and I talked, I felt compelled to be like, oh, like, come on Positive Head. Like, I'll put you on the segment that I do and I'll interview you because that's a great place to, you know, promote you because she just went out on her own and she's taking a big leap and I wanted to, you know, support her. And as soon as I offered it to her, and she was like, yes, of course. On one hand, I felt great. I was like, awesome. I could help her. And on the other hand, I was suddenly like, oh no, wait a minute. Like Positive Heads, like that community is like my community. And like, they're the people that I've been promoting my EFT services to, right? So it's suddenly, all of a sudden, I felt the same way as Ambie. I was like, oh my gosh, should I be like bringing her into this? Like, that's like my demographic, right? Like, that's like my, like, hold on, maybe this isn't a good idea. And I caught myself thinking that, and it felt really bad. Like, it felt very – it did not feel good to think that way. And I think it was Ambie and I who just started talking about it offline and talking about how we were both kind of feeling this way in these areas and realizing, you know, like I mentioned earlier, this is not – there. We have been taught that the pie is only this big, right? And that there's only limited spots. But in reality, that is the opposite of what is true. The pie is never ending. The size of the pie just keeps growing and growing and growing. And what I've been finding this week as this has all continued to unfold is that when you feel like there's only a certain amount and that you have to protect what is yours, it makes you feel bad and it closes off your resources. It closes off the abundance that is waiting for you because you are literally guarding a little tiny piece of the universe and saying, this is mine. This is like, no one else can have it because I need this. I need this, right? And even though I want to help my friends, this is mine. And it's like, when you do that, you're literally telling the universe, I need this little bit, I need this because I don't have anything else. And so that's what manifests. And you close off every other resource available to you and you feel really bad in the process because you're going against your own nature of limitlessness, ever expanding abundance, right? And instead, when you can, you know, do what Ambie was saying that she did, kind of sat with it and expanded into a new perspective of it. And that's what I did as well. And realized that, you know, actually, when you are able to give to someone else, when you are able to give even your resources, even if you feel like you only have this amount of resources, if you're actually able to give your resources and say, here, you know, I give this to you to support you, to support someone else, it is unbelievable the way that that will open you up, first of all. And make you feel so connected to the rest of the universe. Like, suddenly you will feel like you have so much, even if before you were in fear that, you know, you might lose it. It's like when you can actually transcend that fear and actually get behind supporting that person. So what happened for me was I, you know, the day came when I was going to do the interview with my sister from the retreat. Her name's Angelique. And I was still feeling resistance even up until the recording. And then she and I started going back and forth on the intro that I was going to use for her. And I was basically helping her write an intro for herself because I like to do that for people. And as I was doing that, I started getting really excited. I was like, wait a minute. Like, this is a gift I have to give to her. Like, this is mm-hmm. this is exciting. Like, this is I feel so lucky that I get to give this to her and help her promote herself. And you know what? Like, that's what I want to do with my life. Like, I don't want to continue to feel like I have to protect all of these things and close off all of these pieces of me. It's like there's so much power in knowing that when you are the person who is giving away, is able to give away opportunities and able to open up your doors to other people and say, here, have all my resources, that just creates more and more and more and more. And I think the reason I wanted to talk about this so strongly is because I think that this is the key to our abundance that we're missing right now. This is it. Like, this is the piece that in our society we're really, really missing, because there's so many people going, hey, what about me? What about my stuff? You know, like, I can't give to other people, or like, how can I give away my stuff when I don't have enough? And it's like, that's mm-hmm. why we don't have enough. That's why. You know?
Yeah. Well, how can I give something I don't have? And that's something that Abraham Hicks talks about all the time, is how can I give something I don't have? But you have things. You have a smile. You have an attitude. Like, everybody associates it with money or like things that they value. But someone who's stressed will value that smile. You know, just because taking it for granted doesn't mean that you're not, that it's not valuable to someone else. And go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish.
And then Abraham Hicks talks about how, you know, people that don't have enough money, right? They what happens is they think, oh, they go to the store and they think, I can't afford that because I've got to save my money. I've got to save my money for something, instead of allowing yourself to feel into the feeling of abundance and allow yourself to spend it, knowing that it will come back to you. You know, and it's the same way. Just had something else and I can't remember. I guess I'm not supposed to say it. It's irrelevant, but it's that same point of a feeling like there's not enough, and you're feeling lack instead of you're feeling abundant. And you know, what's interesting is I was a Beachbody coach like years ago, but they teach this. It's not called Law of Attraction, right? And it's not called Abundance Project or like whatever you want to call it, because it's the same. We're just putting different terms into there. But they do teach the more people you genuinely help and the more people you want to succeed in the business will grow. And that's essentially like a lesson for life, is the more people that you want to help succeed and the more people that you help thrive and grow, the happier and the more fulfilled you will be.
Mm, so true. So true. And you just reminded me, yesterday I went to a workout class that I go to every once in a while. It's like called like Bar 3. And and anyway, I go like every once in a while, and I've had all kinds of different instructors because I just drop in on whatever class I want. And I go into the class, and I haven't been in a couple of weeks, and it's a new instructor, and I can tell that she's new, although she's really good. She's really good. But I could tell that she's new. Like, something about her, I can just tell this might be one of her first classes or something. And anyway, she was really phenomenal. And about 10 minutes in the class, I got the tap on the shoulder that was like, you tell her after this class is over that she did a phenomenal job. Like, you do that. And at a certain point in the class, I thought I might leave a couple minutes early because I was actually running late to something. And then I got the tap on the shoulder again. It's like, nope, you can't do that, because you have to tell her this. You have to tell her. And honestly, most of the time when I work out, I'm just kind of getting in and out. Like, I do my workout and, you know, whatever. I make niceties with people. But it's like, usually I'm sweaty and I'm hot and I got to, like, go do whatever the next thing is. But on that day, I just felt very important that I tell her this. So anyway, at the end of class, she's standing there and everyone's walking out. And I stop and I say, that was one of the best classes I've ever had here. And she almost burst into tears. Like, it lit her up in such a way that she jumped up and down, put her hands over her face. She goes, oh my God, really? And she almost started crying. She goes, thank you, thank you. Like, and I could tell, I could feel it. I viscerally felt that me saying that to her was something that she needed to encourage mm-hmm. her in that moment. And that one statement to her would light her up for the rest of the day, maybe the rest of the week, and would give her the juice, like, to keep going and inspire other people, right? And help other people. And I could feel that. I was like, whoa, that was like electric. Like, wow, I'm so glad I listened. I'm so glad I did that, because now I feel happy. I feel so good that I could make someone else feel so good just by literally giving them a compliment that I actually felt, that was actually true, and that I actually knew they that would help them. Then I was so inspired by that as I was walking home, I cut through this farmer's market thing that I usually go through. And as I walked out, there was this guy setting up for the day, about to start busking on the street. He sings right outside this farmer's market. And I've only seen him one other time. And it was a few weeks ago. And when I saw him, he was playing some sort of like Jimi Hendrix type of thing. And his name is Osiris. He has a sign that says Osiris. And I thought it was a cool name. And anyway, the last time I saw him, I thought, I was like, wow, he was singing about love and about like peace and about – he was singing very soulfully and spiritually, and it was really resonating with me, but I didn't say anything because last time I felt like I just have to keep going. Like I was rushing. I don't know. I just didn't have time. I told myself I didn't have time. And I walked out and I caught him out of the corner of my eye setting up, and it was almost out of my mouth before I even thought to do it. I was like, I love you. And he was like, what? And I was like, oh, I love you. I saw you before and you're amazing. You're an amazing singer and I'm so happy you're back here and I love you. And he was like, thank you. And he put his hand on his chest and truly took it in. And I was like, yup. And I just like kept walking. And it was the same feeling again, magnified. And I was like, wow, like this is what abundance is. This is it right here. Like this feels better than any amount of money that I could get. Honestly, right in that moment, it felt so good because you could see the ripple of impact. You could see that compliment to that guy was then going to give him the I don't know, just the confidence and the love to sing like his heart out that day and make other people happy. And it's like, I don't know. I just love that. And I think we all need to start thinking that way more and also listening more. Just like I tapped in yesterday, which honestly I haven't been doing very much, but yesterday it was pretty clear to me. We have to start listening when someone tells us, hey, like give that person a compliment. Hey, you like their nail polish. Tell them that. Like even if it's something small, it's like in these ways we can truly like spread love everywhere and that is going to come back to us, you know?
Yeah. And how many times have you looked at someone, right? And you thought a negative thought about that? A thought about them, right? Their pants are too tight or their hair's messed up or whatever the case may be. And you give them a dirty look. They can feel it. They know what you're thinking. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they might not say anything. They might look at you and smile, whatever the case is, they can feel it. So if you think the opposite about them, right? You look at them and you think, wow, that color of lipstick looks really good on her. Or wow, how beautiful is that person? Or what a beautiful voice that man has. Or whatever the case may be, they can feel that too. We're energy. That's what we are. We're beings of energy. And we can feel each other's energy, whether it's positive or negative. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about anybody listening, but I know that I've spread my fair share when I was younger of negative energy, and I don't want to do it anymore. I'd rather spread positive energy, and I'd rather have my children watch me do that so they can grow up doing the same thing instead of being in a world where they feel like they're not enough. They feel like there's scarcity. They feel afraid. I don't want them to feel these emotions, so why would I exude these emotions in front of other people, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So that moment of there was a mom tonight. I took my kids to the park. This is a good example. And let me tell you, as a mother, oh, Jesus, as a mother, when you say to your kid, it's time to go to the park, you sit there and you pray, please don't cause a scene. Please don't cause a scene to me. Just leave nicely, right? Mm. And sometimes the kid leaves nicely. And
just leave nicely with your kid. It makes me think of a hostage situation. Just walk away.
Sometimes the child doesn't. Sometimes you have to say, all right, now I'm going to embarrass you in public. But whatever. That's what I say to my kids because they don't like to get yelled at. So I say, you don't want me to embarrass you.
Yeah.
So anyway, this mother, the kid starts flipping out and losing it, right? So I remember this video of this woman, and she's like, she's saying the same thing. We don't need to be mean to each other. We've all been that mom in the grocery store that has a kid flip out on us. So instead of giving this mom a dirty look, look at them, smile, and say, I've been there too. No judgment. Mm. So I looked at this mom and I go, I've been there too. I'm going to be there in 2 minutes. I feel ya. And she laughed and picked her kid up and walked out. Sure enough, 2 minutes, I tell my kids, we gotta go. And I'm right there with her. And then she was still trying to get our kid out of the playground. So we both had a good laugh about it. We exchanged that. Well, we didn't exchange numbers. We exchanged names. And, you know, we said, hopefully we see each other again. But it could have been really bad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you turn an embarrassing situation. You try to raise these people to be nice people, and I'm sure they will be. Everybody has temper tantrums. If I was three and I was stopped to do something I wanted to do, I would probably lose my stuff too. But it's an embarrassing moment. It's a vulnerable moment because there's nothing you can do to control this person, you know? Mm-hmm. And instead of judging other people, it's so much nicer to be like, I get it. I'm right here with you. We're on the same page. We're good parents. We're doing the best we can. And these little boogers right now are just making us look bad. So I loved it. It was so nice to have that, like, camaraderie, you know?
Yeah, camaraderie.
Camaraderie. Thank you. I was like, wait, I said that wrong.
You're just missing one R. It's okay.
I'm just like making up my own words. It's good.
That's okay. I like it. No, 100%. It's so easy to fall into. I feel like what you're saying is it's so easy to fall into the groove, right? That this world has cut out so far. You know, in the past of like, you know, if someone's doing something that bothers you, it's so easy to just fall back into the groove of being like, yeah, like they're doing it. You know, it's like we point fingers and we kind of try to like, it's like we've been taught to kind of point to the person who's doing the thing that is bothering us or bothering other people and look at them and ostracize them, right? Instead of looking at them and being like, you're me. Like, yeah. How are you like me? How can I understand you? How can I find resonance with you? And you know, something I love to do is especially when I see people who might irk me or are doing something that, you know, I might not like or whatever. I do this every time. Suddenly I envision them with, I just envision the outline of their body. I like literally see them standing there as a form, but I imagine that the inside of their body is pure light, right? And the reason that I'm doing that is because I try to remind myself that inside all of us is truly just this pure white light, this energy that is source, no matter what's on top, no matter what layer is on top. All these layers, you know, all these different avatars that are walking around here, they're built, you know, we all start the same way with this spark of energy, right? And it's like, yes, we all look different and we're all carrying ourselves different and we all have different vibes about us because we've all been through such different things. And so, yes, people do look, you know, they're like people can be doing things and saying things and acting certain ways that might irk us and bother us or feel like inappropriate. But it's like if you can truly just visualize, just look at them and be like, okay, wait a minute. They are exactly what I am inside. They are this pure white light energy. They just have all these layers on top of them that have come about because of their experience of life. It really helps me just tune back into that we're all one, we're all the same, and that there's nothing, you know, they have just been through a different set of experiences than me, and that's okay because they're probably looking at me the same way, but that's at least one thing that I can identify with them and have that camaraderie like you're talking about, whether I say it or not. But 100%. I think it's like so it's such an amazing skill, and it's such something that I think we all should be practicing, of like, instead of falling back into that habit of how is this person different from me, look at them and say, how is this person similar to me? And also, yeah. And also, instead of when you feel that that competition thing coming up, maybe if someone is a little too similar to you on the other side of this, right? Let's say someone is a little too similar to you. Someone does the same job as you, has the same role as you. Someone you feel like is a little too similar to the version of you that you've cut out in this reality, right? It's like, how – okay, in that case, how are we – different? Like, we are clearly the same, but how are we different in beautiful ways? Because we're all fractals of source, we're all fractals of God or whatever you want to call it. We're completely unique. Even if we look the same, even if we have similar aspects, we are completely unique, like in each one of us. And so it's like, in that case, find the thing that makes you unique and celebrate that, and also lift other people who are doing the same thing as you up. Because that was something that came to me when I was going through the thing with Angelique from the retreat. I was like, wait a minute, what am I going to do? Just block out people, all the people who are doing the same thing as me, and just pretend they don't exist? Like, that makes no sense. It's like, I want to meet more people like this. I want to be around more people like this. And I want more people to know about EFT, for example. So why wouldn't I take this opportunity to let Angelique speak to EFT and let Angelique, you know, put her energy out there about what this is? Because I know she's going to speak to people in a way that I can't. She's going to attract people that won't be attracted to me. And that's great. Like, that's awesome, because she's going to pull a whole new set of people. Like, and if we can see it like that, if we can see that we each have our own unique tone, right? And we're attracting people that are in resonance with that tone, then there's really no competition. There's no competition at all. And it's like, then we can just celebrate each other and be together and support each other and attract abundance together.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I think the main thing is, I think most people that are listening to this want to genuinely help other people. And that's how we help other people. It's not with scarcity and fear and competitiveness. It's with abundance and love, and knowing that, yeah, we do the same thing. We're offering the same service to people, but great. That means we get to help double the amount of people. Yeah. You know, it's not, and just like you said, they might resonate with you one way, they might resonate with her a different way, and you might learn a lot from her, and she might learn a lot from you, and that might be an interesting conversation for everyone else to be a part of. That conversation could potentially help and open other doors for people listening, you know? So you never know the ripple of impact. You never know how you will affect another person. I mean, there's really no way to know that in this day and age, because there's such a vast amount of information happening all the time. Yeah. I know people that I've never met in real life have influenced me and changed my life, and they'll never know that. They'll never have that idea. But it's these people that just keep going and keep pushing, and they don't look at competition, and they don't look at how to have mine and not yours, and I'm not willing to help you. And you know, you think about all of these people that have made a huge impact on people's lives. Oprah Winfrey is someone that pops in my head. Like, she doesn't come from a place of scarcity and lack and I'm better than you. How many people have gotten their own spinoff shows from being on her show? You know, like, it's all of these things. She really genuinely wants to help people.
Yeah, that actually makes me think about Brandon, you know, the host of Positive Head, which is the podcast that you and I met on. It's like, mm-hmm. I think about him sometimes. It's like, you know, he has all of this energy and all of this light, and he created this platform, you know, where we met, and all these other mm-hmm. people are meeting. And now all these other podcasts and projects and stuff are spinning off of this podcast. And he could very easily be in his ego about it and be like, hey, like, you know, I mean, I don't know what he would do, but I'm saying, like, it could he could easily see it almost as competition or something, you know? And it's kind of like, hey, like, I started that, like, I should, you know, I put this together. But he is the opposite. He's literally saying, yes, like, good, like, create, make more, because he is in his limitlessness. He is in his, you know, abundance. He is in his, like, creator state. And because of that, he's this, it's like an overflowing fountain, and more people are just attracted to him. And it's like Positive Head becomes this hub of just, like, you know, limitlessness. I mean, that's the only word that comes to me. And it just shows you, it's the same way with Oprah. It's like, she's a fountain where all these people are attracted to her, and she just pushes all these people out to other people. She promotes and lifts up other people and gives them voices and gives them the spotlight. And it never, never, never diminishes Oprah's light. It makes it brighter every time. There is never, by her promoting other people, it never diminishes her. It only makes her network stronger and bigger and brighter and more effective. And it's like, that's what I'm learning from this topic and this situation, is that, like, if I can do that, and if you can do that, and if we can do that together with this podcast, if we can open the doors and be like, we want to support people, we just want you to have a voice through us, like, come and let's do this. It's like, that is going to make this, like, inner bloom bigger and brighter and bloomier. So
bloomier. I like that.
Yeah, I like it too.
I definitely think that, you know, to piggyback off of what you're saying, I also feel like, though, they're human beings and they still have a lot to learn, both of them, right?
Yeah.
And I think that vulnerability is another huge aspect. And I just want to say kudos to both of us, pat each other on the back for being ultra vulnerable, because we're basically saying, hey, this is something that came up for us very, very recently. And we're sharing it with you because we don't want it to get to you like it got to us. Maybe it only got to us for an hour. Maybe it only got to us for 5 minutes, or it got to us for a week, and it doesn't matter. The point is that I think that's a superpower as well, is vulnerability. Mm. And Brandon, I don't know Oprah, but Brandon is like a really good aspect of that as well, is that he is ultra vulnerable on his podcast. And I feel like, actually, I feel like Oprah's the same way, because you know her backstory. You know that she's had this really hard childhood, and she went through a lot of things when she was in her 20s to be in the power that she was in. And it made her the person that she is. But you would have never, looking at her today, you would never know that, you know? And I think sometimes it's so easy to look at people with that and say, well, they know what I went through. Do you know what I mean? Like that scarcity mindset again of, well, they don't know my struggle. Well, they do know your struggle, because it's a similar struggle, because we're all one. And they were able to overcome it. And you're just not there yet. And that's okay too. You're on that road. You're on that path. You're almost there, you know? Mm-hmm. So it just moving out of that scarcity, that mentality of feeling like you're alone and feeling like there's nobody here for you, and that everybody is out to get you, and moving into a place of everybody is here for you.
Yeah. You just gave me a great idea, Ambie. And we should pat ourselves on the back, because it is really awesome that we're being vulnerable. And I think that and I think it is really rewarding, and I think it's rewarding for us, and I think it's rewarding for people listening, or I hope it is. But you just gave me a great idea, which is, you know, I think part of what makes people feel like other people are out to get them, and like that they are vulnerable, and that they can't, or that they can't be vulnerable, is because they are ashamed of certain things that society has taught them to be ashamed of. And it's all our own mental, you know, it's our conditioning, and it's our own mental processing about, you know, things that have happened in our lives that we feel ashamed about. And we feel like we have to hold on to these things, and we feel like we can't share them with other people, because then we're sharing our weaknesses with other people, and then they could use them against us or criticize us or anything. And I have found that this podcast specifically has been so healing to just have, you know, the two of us, we committed in the beginning of this podcast to be like, you know what? We are going to be raw and real and vulnerable no matter what. Even if it's uncomfortable, we're going to do that on this podcast because we know it's going to help people and we know it's going to help us. And I think it really has. And so the idea that just popped into my head was if you're listening to this and you have something that like you've been holding on to because you believe that if you tell somebody, if you let it out, if you share it, that you are going to be – if you are going to lose love, you are going to be judged, you are going to be criticized, that you will be any less than you are in any way, I challenge you and ask you, shoot us an email and tell us, not for us to read it on the air or anything. We won't do that unless you want us to. We won't do that. But honestly, like – we are two very non-judgmental people and people who deal with very sensitive topics all the time. And I truly feel like if you need someone to just bounce this off of and just say, hey, this is what I'm holding on to, we are two awesome people to do that with. And it's a way to practice being vulnerable because I'm telling you, like when you speak something out loud that you've been holding on to, or you type it out loud, whatever it is that you've been holding on to, you start to see it's not so scary anymore. And I want to offer that to people. I don't know if anyone will take us up on it, but if you shoot us an email at innerbloompodcast@gmail.com, you know, if you want to just let something out, let it out. And we'll be there to, you know, respond and say, hey, like, here we're here for you. We're holding space for you. You know, like props to you. And now it's not such a big burden on you anymore. Now it's out. Now you've spoken it. Like, congrats. You know.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing idea. I like that idea. Really, that feels really nice. I like that. I like that. That's good. And you know, you find that when you do things like that, it's one, the world doesn't explode, everything's still okay. And then two, you find that, hey, maybe there are other people out there that are embarrassed or ashamed, or they're holding on to the same stuff you are. You know, you're not alone. Like, you think about, I wanted to say last year, good gracious, last month, when
feels like a year ago,
when all of these people took their own lives. And it's sad, and it comes from that place of scarcity and that place of feeling alone. And my uncle killed himself, and he did that because what really happened, unfortunately, was he threw his girlfriend out of a two-story building, so he couldn't kill himself. But instead of facing what he had done and, you know, trying to come from a place of I'm truly sorry, he just couldn't live with himself. And I feel like if there are more people out there that say, no, you know what, maybe what you did was not okay in the moment, but you're a human and you make mistakes, and it doesn't mean that you need to end everything mm-hmm. from one mistake. You're not alone. You know,
absolutely. There is no, I firmly believe and that there is nothing that you can do that makes – there are things in the eyes of society right now that you can do, yes, that maybe a part of society or maybe a majority of society right now will say that is wrong, that is unforgivable. Right. But from a human – from a conscious being perspective, I firmly believe, and I think Ambi agrees probably, that there is nothing that you can do as a human that – for you to then not exist anymore. Like you we're here learning. What even right. even the worst things, even murder, I'm sorry, but like even those things, that's people learning in different degrees of severity, right? And it's like mm-hmm. you know, that is a huge, someone who does that, someone who does things like that, they're so disconnected themselves. And it's like I'm so tired of society, you know, say, like, yes, do the victims need to be healed? Of the victims of these people need to be healed? And shouldn't they, you know, people, be concerned for them and wanting to heal them 100%. But hold on a second, because who is going to heal the people who are doing this? Who are going to be there for the people who are committing these acts? Because for someone to do something like that, for someone to commit an act like that, they have to be so in so much pain themselves. They have to be so disconnected. We don't come out of the womb just like serial killers. I'm sorry. Like, we don't. It's like,
and a lot of serial killers, actually, in school, I did a project on serial killers, which sounds weird, but it was related to brain injuries. And a lot of serial killers come from a very traumatic background.
Yeah.
So it had me thinking, like, who's the victim here? They murdered people. No questions asked. That's not okay. In my book, I'm sorry. That's not okay. But they were victims for years. They were victims for years. They were made to believe that they weren't okay, and all of these different aspects. And in many, many cases, physically and emotionally and sexually abused. Yeah. So it's kind of like when you look at it from that perspective, you can see, and you almost have empathy for these people. Like, oh my gosh, how sad that you went through that and you felt so alone that was the only way out for you was to make someone feel the way that you felt.
Yeah. Totally. And it's like, when are we going to start having compassion for those people as well? It's like, we have this idea that if somebody has done something wrong, then like they need to be erased from society. And it's like, well, but the reason that they did something wrong is because they're learning this and being taught this somewhere. So when are we going to look at that? And it's like, from my perspective right now, whoever's listening to this, whatever you've done, it's like there's nothing that you've done that makes you any less of a human. There's nothing you've done that, you know, we have all made mistakes. I put myself through guilt for years about stuff that like I was holding in. And it's like, it feels so good to just tell somebody or just speak it out loud and just let it out. Because when you do, as Ambi mentioned earlier, it's like you'll realize that you're still here, that you still deserve love. And I just think it's so important to know, like, you still deserve love, and like you deserve to like let this off your back, whatever it is. Like, you deserve to free yourself of that and have somebody look at you and say, I still love you. Like, you're still worthy of love. You're a human being, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of people, I don't know, I just think about like how I feel like most people are raised with the mentality of their parents saying, well, that was good enough for me, so it's good enough for you. Do you see what I'm saying? My dad beat me, so I'm going to beat you, kind of mentality. And that's just not a world that we have to live in anymore. It's not a world that we should be wanting to live in anymore. We should want to say, because I didn't have shoes growing up, you get whatever shoes you want. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like we can all change that. We can all change the way that we look at each other. And it definitely doesn't come from a place of lack. It comes from a place of compassion and empathy, and knowing that no one's trying to take anything from you.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the universe is literally trying to give to you in every single way it can. The only time, that's the funny thing, is it's the opposite. It's like the universe is literally trying every pathway to get to you what you're asking for, but we are so blocked off in so many ways that it feels like people are trying to take from you. And that's what we manifest. Like, literally, it's like it's actually crazy when you think about how strong the universe is, how much the universe loves you, how all it's trying to do is give to you. And we are that blocked up in some areas that it actually feels like people are trying to take from us, people are taking from us, that we don't have enough. It's like that is the biggest illusion. And so if you can just let your guard down a little bit and love people and love yourself. Give away love freely. You know, even if you don't have anything to give, it's like Gambi was saying, you do have a smile to give. You do have a compliment to give, like I was talking about earlier. And it's like, it will light up your heart. And that is the key to abundance. Opening the doors, letting other people in, celebrating people who are similar to you and different than you, and giving away what you have, which is love. That's all you need. So I think that's a good place to wrap up. And anything I else, babe? Okay.
I think we should play Love Is All You Need on the outro. That's all I'm saying. But I don't know if we can legally, but everybody play that song in your head right now. We'll sing it for you.
We'll show the man for trying to charge us for that. We'll show Spotify. Just kidding. We like Spotify. Rate and review if you haven't, on iTunes. We're also on Google Play right now. We are also on CastBox. We are working on getting on Spotify. If you want a reading from Ambie, reach out. If you want an EFT session from me, reach out. Our email is innerbloompodcast@gmail.com. And until next,
let's get weird, everybody. Come on.
Now you outdid me. Okay, yeah, let's get weird and keep on blooming. Bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, we would love, love, love it if you would give us a rating and review on Apple iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch for a reading with Ambie, an EFT session with Alexa, or just to say what up, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And you can email us at innerbloompodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at innerbloompodcast. Until next time, remember, open your heart to the seeds of love and light and bloom from within.